Please open to Luke, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2. Well, we've already seen Mary give birth to Jesus. We've seen how an angel appeared to shepherds in the field to announce the birth of the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. And we've also seen how a multitude of the heavenly hosts then appeared to the shepherds, praising God for what had happened in the city of Bethlehem that night. The shepherds then went to Bethlehem and found Jesus and his parents, Joseph and Mary, and told them of the experience that they had had. Then, later we've seen Joseph and Mary take Jesus to the temple because the law said that the male child who opened the womb was to be presented in a special way to the Lord. And that wasn't enough. There were more things centered around Jesus when he was born. And so we pick up at Luke 2:25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, meaning the law of Moses, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and Mary marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. A just and devout man approaches the parents of Jesus and takes him up in his arms and says amazing things about him. And the fact that he already knew who this child was fascinated Joseph and Mary. The Holy Spirit let this man know, you are not going to die until you see the Lord's Christ. And then it happened one day. He goes into the temple by the Holy Spirit, and when Joseph and Mary bring Jesus to the temple to do with him as the law taught, he saw the child, and it must be that in some way the Holy Spirit let Simeon know, this is him. This is the one. This is the Lord's Christ. We picture Jesus picking up children and holding them in his arms and him blessing them. In fact, it's written in Mark 10. Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. And then down in verse 16 it says, And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. I mean, that's my image of Jesus. is parents coming because they know who he is, or at least have an idea of who he is, that he's a special holy man. And, well, they've got their little babies and they want him to bless them. I think we would probably all want that same thing to happen. But before Jesus ever did such a thing, it was done to him. A total stranger sees Jesus, holds him in his arms, and blesses God with mighty words, magnificent words. And what would you be thinking if you were Joseph and Mary? I mean, just picture yourself being them. I mean, usually, when you have a newborn anyways, people want to see your baby. They say things about your baby. They want to hold your baby. And if you're ever like a third party to this, you need to look at the parent's face as all this is going on and people are oohing and awing over the newborn. The parents are just delighted because, you know, they're happy to have this baby and everything is so exciting for them. And then to hear others say wonderful things about their babies and just admiring them and so on. But in this case, it of course went way beyond that. People are saying things about this baby like no one has ever had said about their babies before. But Simeon now says that he's ready to depart in peace. And that's because his life had been wrapped up in the Lord. And when your life is wrapped up in the Lord and it's time for you to move on, you're okay with that. And you can depart in peace. Simeon was ready to depart in peace, knowing that, well, this was all according to the word of the Lord. The Lord had told him that. And so he now saw the Lord's salvation, the little child who would turn into a man, who would bring salvation to Israel and the world. The man was filled with joy and gladness, and he was ready to go on. Simeon knew that for the most part the Gentiles had lived in darkness, but he also knew that the baby he held in his arms would bring light to the nations and glory to Israel. I think he just himself considered it a blessed privilege. I'm holding this child in my arms. He was just marveling at that himself. Just imagine you bring your baby to a special place and a man whom you've never met before wants to hold your baby and then starts to say things like what has already been said as we looked at with Simeon, but excuse me, that's on top of other things you've already heard. Remember what Elizabeth told Mary? How she spoke about him bringing the Son of God into the world and Gabriel appeared to Mary, and there's so many things. And now this guy, wow, how fascinating would that be? So after blessing Joseph and Mary, Simeon had more to say about Jesus. And he directed his attention to Mary, revealing that her child was destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel. And that he would be a sign that people would speak against. This is actually the first time the parents are hearing anything negative about Jesus. But they needed to know these things. And then Simeon added further that something was going to happen that would be like a sword piercing her soul. And from this vantage point in time, we know what Simeon referred to. The brutal treatment that the Jews and Romans would give him, beating him, slapping him around, spitting on him, scourging him, putting a crown of thorns on his head, but most of all, worst of all, crucifying him, nailing him to a couple of pieces of wood and uprighting it and just letting him hang there till he dies. parents, and I'll say mothers, not because fathers wouldn't feel anything, but for some reason Joseph is out of the picture. He may have died already, we don't know. But Mary is going to witness. Mary is going to witness with her own eyes the Roman crucifixion of her son. Can you imagine mothers seeing that done to your child? As a father, I can't imagine that. I cannot imagine. Someone taking my child and nailing that child to a cross just to suffer in excruciating pain until the child dies. Yeah, a sword would pierce right through your soul. It would hurt in the deepest way. And Simeon revealed further that all of this would reveal the thoughts of many hearts. And I thought about that this morning as I was going over my sermon, and I suppose there's a lot of interpretations to that, but one interpretation I think could be this. Right now, if we could interview each person in this assembly and say, what do you think about the crucifixion of Jesus of Nazareth? We wouldn't just hear one thought. It wouldn't just be everybody saying the exact same thing. We would all have many things to say. I know I have some things I would say, but then you'd have some things to say that might be the same as mine, but you would probably have some other words as well. Because the life of Jesus, his ministry, his works and his words, and then what he did at the end there, it's affected all of us, hasn't it? In ways that are so profound. Anyways, let's continue in the text. Verse 36. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Israel. First, notice that this woman is from the tribe of Asher, one of the so-called lost tribes of Israel. Second, she was a prophetess. And her age. Luke mentioned her age. And it's kind of hard to figure out what he meant by her age. She had been married to a man for 7 years, and then he died. And the different translations have different ways of wording this. It's hard to tell if she was an 84-year-old widow or if she had been a widow for 84 years. But either way, she's up there in her years. And the Lord used this older woman to do something wonderful. And she allowed herself to be used. She wanted to be used. She was always at the temple. And Luke tells us what she was doing there. She was always fasting and praying. I just wonder if the people of Jerusalem and maybe throughout Israel knew this woman. And, you know, you could have your own prayers, but, you know, sometimes you want somebody to pray for you. So maybe they would go to Anna, maybe give her a piece of paper, maybe be here in person and say, I need you to pray for this. So here is a woman who made herself available to the Lord and made herself available to whoever came to the temple. So right when Simeon is done speaking, right then Anna sees this kid and gives thanks. And anyone who wants to listen to her, she speaks to him about this child. What a beautiful sight. Again, can you just imagine being the parents? You've been hearing all this that I preached on 2 weeks ago and now today. It's just, I can't imagine what it would be like. I'd love to meet Joseph and Mary, Holt too, in heaven, and ask them, what was that like when all that was going on? Especially because you gave birth to him up there on the throne. Okay, 39 and 40. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So finally they left for their hometown of Nazareth. And while there, Luke points out four things. Jesus grew. Jesus grew strong in spirit. Jesus was filled with wisdom, and God's grace was upon him. Then God goes silent. We talked about this in my class today. You have the book of Malachi written in the mid-400s, and when God was done with Malachi, you don't hear from the Lord again until the angel appears to Zacharias to tell him about the birth of John the Baptist. For over 400 years, God didn't say a word. He's working in the background, behind the scenes, but he didn't say anything. And now, look at Jesus coming into the world, the Lord himself, and there's all this activity surrounding his birth, and then it just stops cold and doesn't pick up again until he's 12 years old. And even then we just get a little glimpse of him as a 12-year-old, and then the Lord goes silent again for 18 years. But when those 18 years are done, wow. The world's never been the same since then. Let's look at verse 41 and following. And his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. And then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. So they go to Jerusalem for the Passover because the law required that every Jewish male had to appear in Jerusalem 3 times every year. And one of those times was at the Passover. So, of course, the whole family could come along also. But when they left, Jesus stayed behind. When he's 12 years old. To get an idea of a 12-year-old, Lila and Jackson are 12 years old. Brian is 13. So I'll give you an idea of how old Jesus was at this time. But of course, they're unaware that he has stayed behind. And, you know, they weren't the only people traveling there for the Passover. Now, there would have been a lot of people coming down from Galilee like how they had. And no doubt because of his good behavior and his age, they knew they could let him be on his own in Jerusalem. And they would assume that he'd be okay, and that when it was time to go home and everybody's starting to leave, that he would just join those crowds and eventually get home or find his parents or something like that. But they couldn't find him after a day has gone by. A parent's worst nightmare was starting to unfold. And so they couldn't find him. Have you ever had a similar incident? We have. Once, Carrie and I and our two younger daughters went hiking along the Deschutes River just north of Sun River here in Oregon. And one of our daughters was a runner in high school. She was a cross-country runner. So she wanted to run ahead, and that was fine. I said, just meet at this location. And the three of us, Tracy was already married, I think, and gone, because it's like 1999 or 2000. And we got there, and she wasn't there. And we started looking around. And this part of the Deschutes River, there's just steep drop-offs into the rapids. And, you know, you parents, you know the stuff that goes through your heads. Did she fall in? Did someone kidnap her? That was one of my first thoughts, because the parking lot, there was a bunch of cars in the parking lot, but we never saw one hiker along the way. And I'm thinking to myself, were they waiting in the bushes or something, and they saw her coming by alone and they kidnapped her? Did a cougar get her because she was running and it attracted us? I mean, again, you know the stuff that goes through your head. So finally, we decided we needed a search party. We needed help. So Carrie went back to Sun River and organized a search party. And then she came back and we kept looking. And finally we found her. She just showed up out of nowhere. Man, the relief that comes over your soul. But then it quickly turns to anger. I can totally understand where Mary was coming from. Man, we were scared. We thought something awful had happened to you. We were anxious to the max. So I'm hugging and lecturing at the same time. And wow, poor Joseph and Mary. I think I can know somewhat of what they were feeling. Anyway, she had thought she could keep on running further and then come back to the place and get there before we got there. Anyways, with Jesus, nothing bad had happened to him. He hadn't done anything bad. He was at the temple. This 12-year-old boy is at the temple with the teachers of Israel. These would, for the most part, be older men, asking them questions and answering their questions. And they were amazed by that. How amazed would they have been if they had known the author of the scriptures was standing right there before them, and in fact the author of the heavens and the earth was right there with them at the temple. Cracks me up. I've wondered before if maybe some of them, you know, had gone off to the side. You know they had to be talking about him. And they would have, some of them may have said, you know, that kid sounds like he wrote the scriptures. And how right they would have been. Wow. Anyways, when Mary questioned Jesus, he gave an answer that they didn't understand. He already knew who he was and his mission on earth. When did he become aware of his identity? I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But anyway, Luke wrote that they did not understand what he said. And over a decade has passed. I mean, we read it in the Bible. We just go straight from Anna to this episode without realizing that over a decade has passed in time. And, you know, Mary especially, the Bible tells us, remembered all these things. Joseph too, but I think it just doesn't necessarily mention him because something happened to him later that he's not in the picture. But, you know, she remembers these things, but at the same time, he's a kid. He's under their care, you know, just like the other children that they have, so forth and so on. And, you know, they had a routine in their family life, just like how you have in yours. And, well, he broke it. You know, he didn't follow it in this case. And so now he talks about, you know, why were you seeking me? Of course, they're thinking, well, of course we're going to seek you. You're our son. And they didn't understand what he meant by must be about my father's business. Maybe they still didn't even realize yet who he was. So they left Jerusalem, going down to Nazareth, because Luke did not look at it geographically, because we would say they went up to Nazareth. But he looked at it topographically. And Nazareth is downhill from Jerusalem, although it's north. What do you think about the middle of verse 51? I'm just fascinated by it, and you can look at the different translations that I have up on the screen up there. That again fascinates me. This is the Son of God who already knows who he is. He's at the temple because he knows he has to be about his father's business. And yet Luke points out that after that episode, he went home with them and he was subject to them. Or how about what the ESV says there? He was submissive to them. He continued in subjection to them. He was obedient to them. Later, as the Lord himself, they would have to be subject to him. And they would have to obey him. And both Joseph and Mary, just like us, will have to appear before him at the judgment. It's amazing the reversal that went on here. How he's the Lord in heaven, on his throne. The Father sends him to the earth, into the womb of a woman, and he goes through the birth process and all of that, and he's just a tiny little baby subject to the world and all the bad stuff the world could have done to him. But he's totally in their care, and he submits to them, and then the whole thing's going to be changed again. The humility of Jesus, I think, is beyond my ability to describe it. My first thought was, well, when we see him on his throne, and then we imagine what we see in the Gospels, maybe we'll understand it then. But in fact, it may be even more difficult then, when we actually see Jesus in all his glory on his throne. Can you imagine what that's going to look like and be like? I try to think about that all the time. Just picture it in my imagination. And then to think of him coming down here with us, it's absolutely amazing. So anyways, Mary remembered even what happened here at the temple. She didn't forget it. And then there's the last sentence of... Then there's the last sentence of Luke 2. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. In other words, Jesus grew as a human. He grew intellectually just as we do. He had to learn things. He increased in his body size. You know, the first boy that I pictured when I thought about Jesus being this little kid and being a 12-year-old and growing and becoming a grown man and muscular and everything was Lake Thomason. I remember when Lake used to come up here and, well, he would stand on that little white stool to do the scripture reading. You know, and he was just a skinny little kid. But if you see him now, I mean, he's a man. He's built muscle and everything. Lake Thomason. I have to pinch myself and say, this is that little kid. Well, that's what happened with Jesus. He increased in his relationship with God as he became more aware of just who he was and why he was there. Well, you can see it there when he's 12 years old. He's making his connection with God, so he's growing spiritually. And finally, Luke says that he grew in his relationship with men. That's just a part of living here too, isn't it? I mean, Jesus himself later would say that the greatest commandment is to love God and then to love your neighbor as yourself. And that's exactly what he did. Here's the thing. Going back to Simeon. Sooner or later, every single one of us is going to die. And so I think to myself, as I studied for this sermon this week, and I thought about Simeon and what he said to the Lord when he was blessing Jesus, or blessing God because of Jesus, he said he was ready to depart in peace. And that's how I want to be. no matter how my death is going to be, whether it's just peacefully sleeping one night and you don't wake up, or a heart attack, or a disease, or murder, or whatever it's going to be, I want to be able to depart in peace. Don't you? I don't want to be terrified of death. I don't want to be terrified of meeting the Lord. I want to be ready for it. This is time. It's finally coming. I've always wondered, how am I going to die? This is it. And I'm ready for it. Because my life is wrapped up in the Lord. And I think that's why Simeon was ready to depart in peace. Not just because a prophecy that the Lord had given him was now coming true, but also because his life was wrapped up in the Lord. And what is death? Death is the doorway to get on the other side to see and be with the Lord. That's what death is. And so, to have our lives wrapped up in the Lord, we have to be willing to acknowledge who He is. We're getting glimpses already of what the Bible says Jesus was or is. He is the Lord. And Paul wrote to the Romans, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So I ask you today, do you believe that this boy Jesus we've been looking at is the Lord? He was actually the Lord who lived here on this earth. He was actually the Lord who entered a woman's womb and then went through the birth canal and did all that stuff that babies do. He needed his diapers changed. The Lord needed his diapers changed, or whatever they wore then. But He was the Lord. Do you believe that? Are you ready to confess today that that's who He is? And are you ready to start your life over? He is wanting to forgive you of your sin, because that's why He came. He came to die for our sin. So if you are ready to be baptized into Christ today, come forward now as we stand and sing.